This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Take a vacation from your bills, pay off credit cards, and save thousands of dollars after a simple phone call to Golden Oak Lending. Visit GoldenOakLending.com to speak to someone today.
Golden Oak Lending, cured my blues.
NMLS 114937.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
Oh, look, Scott's mic doesn't work. Oh, yeah, baby. It's going to be the Dana show.
Why, Dana, I'm out.
Oh, this is a good day.
Okay, can both of you quit turning your mics on so I can fix
no,
it?
No, I like pushing buttons.
Is first day?
With Scott's mic. Okay.
So, Sam...
Yeah, Dan, just keep
How you doing, man?
They keep turning their mics on.
Yeah.
All right, there we go. Now we're good.
Lies. Lies! I just wanted to sing Milli Vanilli all day, unlike Milli Vanilli.
It's not Milli Vanilli.
Where?
That's Terrence Trent D'Arby.
Oh, sorry. I love that song. Bum, bum,
TTD.
Bum,
did you confuse that with Milli Vanilli?
Bum, bum, bum,
which,
on
by the way,
now.
He doesn't go by Terrence Trent D'Arby anymore. He goes by his birth name.
Don't tell me TTD.
No. Sam, what is his birth name? It's unpronounceable to me.
Sananda?
I would stick with Terrence Trent D'Arby. Sign Your Name is one of the greatest love songs of all time.
Sananda Maitreya.
Mm-hmm. Sign your name across my heart. That is a sexy
song. I want you to be my
song.
Baby.
Oh my gosh. Speaking of songs, you asked, we are delivering. Brody Buster will be in studio with harmonica and guitar.
Should I bring my drum kit?
No. On
Why?
Thursday afternoon.
Do you think I can't play drums?
I know that you can play drums. I grew up with drums.
And
I know that you can play.
He needs a rhythm section behind him.
Pretty sure he's got his own rhythm.
Huh.
I don't want
just
you.
Just bring in a bucket.
I want you muddling up the glory that is going to be that
Sam,
performance on the program.
She's never been on the show when we've played raunchy food. Would you give her just a taste my abilities from 40 years ago?
I have listened to your garage band. And
wow.
It was literally a garage band.
It was a basement band.
No, we're
in
good.
A very nice house.
Cold and moldy.
It'll be on Thursday.
Basement.
It was a mansion.
Okay, crank
there
it.
There I am.
You're keeping some time there. I got you. It's good.
Hang on. Drum roll here.
Not sure I'd pay a cover.
Wow. Nice roll.
Very
Thank
nice.
You.
Very
yeah.
good. Very good.
15 years old.
Wow.
Good. What is going on with the weather and when can I leave the state?
You just got back.
You know I don't do well in March when things like this are going on.
So, you need to just hunker down. This one's going to come in strong and it'll be gone relatively soon.
It's been raining since the sun came up this morning. It's going to continue raining until the sun goes down this evening. There are high winds. Once that sun goes down, it's going to switch over to some pretty heavy wet snow. We're predicting 1 to 2 inches. By the time the sun comes up in the morning, that will likely be gone because the low temperature is 29 degrees. It will not stick. It will not freeze. But high winds, there is a chance of power outages because of that. And there is a blizzard warning, believe it or not, because when there are high winds and snow, that triggers a blizzard warning.
We're talking north of here, right? I mean,
No.
It was my understanding we weren't going to get a lot of snow down here.
We are going to get 1 to 2 inches here.
Right here. But again, heavy, wet snow. It's only going to get down to 29. So it's not the 28 is kind of the magic number for it to start sticking.
We've got a combination of all kinds of things happening, and that's why we're getting a blizzard warning.
I just took some video of this gray day, and I said, spell this day, and one of our listeners replied, menopause. If menopause was a day, today would be that day. It's just gray. See, it's just bleh. And everyone is pretending like they've never driven in the snow, by the way.
We always
or the
talk
rain.
About, we always talk about the 12 to 14 seasons here in the Midwest. Yep. And today we're getting four of them.
Mm-hmm. Yep. All good. But be careful out there, man. I'm telling you, I saw people doing some dumb, have you never driven in the rain kind of things
by
today.
By dumb, do you mean D-U-M?
Yes.
Can you explain what happened last night at your house?
Oh, yeah. We went to make some skillet potatoes. And I said, I think there's potatoes back there, but I think they've been back there for a while. Let's check on them.
And, were they fuzzy and green?
Oh, no. Not,
they were growing
not
arms.
Just fuzzy. They had appendages.
Uh-huh.
Like
trying
a lot.
To reach for freedom.
They were.
Yeah. We're not getting used. Let's get out of here.
Help. Let us out of the pantry.
We laughed.
So what did you do with them?
So we took the ones that were better than others, and we sliced them up, and we ate them. We'll come back to that.
Okay.
And then the appendages to me, because of the way my brain works, immediately reminded me of you all. And I made potato heads for the show. For all of you.
It's also practice for Easter eggs. Instead of using eggs, just use the potatoes.
Hi, I'm Scott. I used to live in Germany.
I'm Sam. Chew it and do it.
And I'm Dan Weinbaum. Let me tell you about the history of potatoes.
And I'm, last words were, I'm the only normal one.
I brought the potatoes in today, and the sports guys are leaving, and they were like, what's up with the potato heads? And I'm like, can you not clearly see that that's the four of us?
Can I just say that Dan, yours looks like a crab.
Okay.
It does look like a crab,
it's the handlebar mustache that was going...
Oh, is that what we're going with? All right.
It was going horizontal against the potato, and I'm like, well, there's Dan.
Did you know that potatoes were first domesticated in the Peruvian Andes about 7,000 years ago?
Dan, I didn't know that.
Fascinating.
Nobody else did, and nobody cares.
Here's what else I did not know. And Dan, by the way, your potato is my favorite because of the handlebar mustache. Here's what else I didn't know. Multiple people on my Facebook page were like, you can't eat those. Like, studies have shown once they start growing appendages, if
Dan, is this true?
I'm not going to say it's toxic, but it's probably not great for you to eat them. We ate them anyway. They were delicious.
Oh, I think you're going to be just fine.
Yeah. I don't think there's any rule that if they start growing arms and legs or claws, in Dan's case, or
a handlebar mustache.
Yeah.
Exactly.
That they become somehow unhealthy.
Yeah, they just don't taste the same as what you're used to.
Yeah.
From Google, no, it is generally not recommended to potatoes that have sprouted. Sprouted potatoes produce, I'm not going to pretend that I can pronounce that word, which is a natural toxin that can cause gastrointestinal upsetness, nausea, vomiting, and diarrhea.
We'll know by 3 o'clock.
Here's what I'm going to say.
If she goes flying out the door.
We went deep into the center of those potatoes. Like, we didn't eat the appendages or, now I played with them like I was in preschool because I thought it was hilarious. If I had had googly eyes, game over.
Were
you like role-playing with these potatoes?
No,
I'm Scott. I'm from Germany. Hi, I'm Dana. We already know that.
I'm like Dan. Action figures.
I'm Dan. Did you know it's Peruvian when potatoes sprout appendages?
And you can't eat potatoes that have sprouted.
Peru is one of the most mountainous countries in South America. They speak Spanish.
Sprouted potatoes contain glycoalkaloids.
Yes.
Those are the natural toxins.
Yes.
Okay, now you're just reading off the internet.
Yeah, I looked it up. Nothing wrong with that.
Okay.
Good talk.
On the text line, exactly how drunk was Dana?
I had.
That is a lie. Whatever you're... No. Hang on. Because we got a text from your MP who... So right now you're going to have to enter the truth zone.
Yeah, because we weren't in the truth zone earlier in the newsroom.
I had two Glencairn pours, very tiny pours of port.
All right.
Just two.
Here's what I need you to do.
Three, I can't sleep.
Here's what I need you to do.
Yeah.
I'm not going to take your phone from you.
No.
I need you to wrap it up.
Yeah.
And put it down away from you. And I'm...
How many glasses of port did I have last night?
No, delete it.
Okay.
Let me see that's all you wrote.
I just said how many glasses. He will tell you two. Three, I can't sleep.
Okay, you didn't send it, so...
I did not.
We're going to close your phone, and we'll just see. We'll put it right here.
God bless him. He was the one cooking, and then he looks over, and you guys all have feet and hands and eyes.
Because Sam and I got a text that just said, this is at 9:06 last night. Mm-hmm. Sam, you received the same text.
I did.
We've been drinking. How many glasses did Dana have?
Okay. He should reply two. Maybe it was three, but I think it was two. And they're tiny. You know, port, Dan, I don't know if you've ever drank port. I'm now a port person. The Glencairn is a very, very tiny glass that's shaped sort of like an hourglass, sort of.
Mm-hmm. The reporting on how much was consumed has doubled in the last 30 minutes.
Mm-hmm. Now, Sam, what did I just text to MP and you?
Let's see. How many glasses did Dana have? Be honest.
Oh, he'll be honest.
It's more than two.
No! Have you not ever seen me just crack myself up to the point that I'm almost
Dana.
Vomiting over some of the dumbest things that you know to be true?
Yes.
Hi, I'm Scott.
I'm from Germany. I lived in Germany.
I'm from Germany. I'm just telling you.
By the way, it was very funny.
If you're Potato Sprout, let your kids draw on them. It was worth 20 minutes of a great laugh.
Now, those glycoalkaloids are bad.
Hi, I'm Scott. I used to live in Germany.
I'm Sam. Chew it and do it.
And I'm Dan Weinbaum. Let me tell you about the history of potatoes.
This is the only normal one.
You said last night when you were playing Mr. and Mrs. Potato Head that you had had two glasses of wine. Is that correct? You're being interrogated, by the way.
Well, yes.
Did you or did you not in the newsroom report that that was, in fact, one glass of wine?
One glass of wine. Then on the air, it became two. Is that correct? Yes or no?
That is correct.
Okay.
I forgot about one of them.
So I wrote to MP just a moment ago.
Uh-huh.
How many glasses did Dana have? Be honest. He writes back, three. One right as she walked in. I poured the first and the third. She the second. Sam Stevie writes, we appreciate your honesty, sir. Me, waiting for a response, by the way. Oh, a response just came in. I haven't read it, but I'm going to read it live. Tall glasses, MP. Did the second one really look like two in one?
Oh, here is the truth right here.
Hashtag getting to the truth. MP, she was using one of my bourbon glasses, but the pour was twice what should have gone in one of those glasses. That is four glasses of wine, Sam.
By my count, that is accurate. Yes, sir.
That is four.
Those were tiny Glencairns, and in my defense... Which I am not on the witness stand.
Guilty.
In my defense, I had forgotten. It was very sweet when I walked in the door. He was in the shower, and he poured one out and left a little flower on the counter. I had forgotten.
Was it a tall glass or a small
tiny
glass?
Tiny one. And that was at 6:30 p.m. So that one, erase that one off the books.
You can't handle the truth.
That's 6:30 p.m.
Why are we erasing that off the books?
Because for the bulk of the evening, it's two. I forgot about the one on the counter when
you
I walked in.
You forgot about the other two?
Denial ain't just a river in Egypt.
No, it's not.
Dana, you know we're here because we love you.
This is your intervention. Hashtag getting to the truth.
Those potatoes would have cracked me up whether I had one or seven.
They were very funny. They were very funny. Sad news today. Chappie, who was the gray pup seal
that
ended up
in
on the streets of New Haven, Connecticut, about 3 miles from the beach. Police found Chappie. They don't know how the seal got into the streets of New Haven, Connecticut. Chappie has passed. He or she was dehydrated, malnourished. They got him or her back up to where they kind of needed to be, started them on a regular diet.
Oh,
didn't work.
Sweet Chappie.
Suffered digestive failure, and sweet Chappie has passed.
Okay, this next story will make you ask yourself, what have I done lately to help others? Because this is a wow. We have lost a man named James Harrison, and you might not know the name, but what he did was truly remarkable. He saved more than 2 million babies. Mm. Listen to this story. Australia's most prolific blood and plasma donor, James Harrison, has died at age 88. Known as the man with the golden arm, he is credited with saving the lives of 2.4 million babies over the course of more than a half century. He died peacefully in his sleep at home. Okay.
How's that possible?
Let me tell you. Harrison donated blood and plasma a whopping 1,173 times every 2 weeks between 1954 and 2018. All but 10 were from his right arm. And one of the reasons he was able to help so many is because his plasma was rare. For whatever reason, when James Harrison was born, his plasma contained a rare and precious antibody called anti-D, which was discovered in the mid-1960s. It is used in all kinds of medications to prevent bad things. And it is a potentially fatal disease if you are born with this thing when a pregnant person's blood is incompatible with that of their unborn baby. So if I'm pregnant and my blood type is not compatible with my unborn child, my system will attack the child, right? His blood donations help save those babies.
Huh. Why would your blood not be compatible with theirs? I mean,
it says 17% of Australian women, and I would have no reason to think it would be different here. 17% of Australian women who become pregnant end up needing anti-D injections, and most of the country's supply comes from a pool of very, very small donors that have this plasma inside of them to share.
So he donates 1,000-plus times over the course of 30, 40 years, whatever. I'm assuming they just take a very small sample. I mean, for him to save 2.5 million babies, that would have to be a very small...
It was like liquid gold. I mean, so they saved...
taken out of each donation, right?
He told NPR in 2015, some people say you're a hero. He said then, but quote, I'm in a safe room donating blood. They give me a cup of coffee and something to nibble on, and then I just go on my way. No problem, no hardship.
Why did he have all of the... donations in his right arm except two?
I don't know. Don't we all have like a giving blood arm that we prefer? Mine's my left. I got big old...
Mine is my left as well.
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever given blood out of my right or had a blood test out of my right, as far as I know. But there were two times he had it out of his left. Why?
I don't know. Maybe that day he wasn't feeling it.
Or just could have been they couldn't find the vein that well that day. Some people have very hard veins to find.
You know, I used to donate plasma for extra beer money in Nebraska.
A lot of people in college do.
Yeah, I know.
A lot of people not in college do.
Not my proudest moment.
Yeah. What do you mean? You were saving lives.
He was drinking beer. Right.
Yeah.
Saving lives, then go drink some beer. That's right. From CNN, it is tiny, but this lab mouse could have a mammoth impact. With curly whiskers and wavy, light hair that grows three times longer than that of any ordinary lab mouse.
No.
The genetically modified rodent embodies several woolly, mammoth-like traits.
Oh, but it is so cute.
It is very cute. Look up the woolly mammoth mouse.
All right.
The private Dallas company is behind efforts by the private Dallas company Colossal Biosciences.
Oh.
Is behind efforts to resurrect the mammoth and other extinct animals.
Okay, so if you think of a mouse, but then in your mind really think of a gerbil that has had his hair blow-dried and professionally styled and poofed out, that's what this little guy looks like.
Colossal said the woolly mouse would enable scientists to test hypotheses about the link between specific DNA sequences and physical traits that enabled the mammoth, which went extinct 4,000 years ago, to adapt to cold or to life in cold climates.
I love it. It's adorable. Whoa. But we've got a number of documentaries about why this is a bad idea. They are all titled Jurassic Park.
Those are not documentaries.
Well, they're
going
to be if we
Listen
keep
to
doing
this.
This.
Asian elephants have a 22-month gestation period. Asian elephants. And they are endangered, which means it is impractical to use them to explore the genetics of woolly mammoths. Mice, however, have a 20-day gestation period, we know, and there are long-established protocols for manipulating their genes. We're not supposed to believe here that a mouse is somehow going to birth a woolly mammoth.
No, of course not.
This is just some hybrid
They're testing it to see if it is possible to take the DNA from a woolly mammoth, which we have, and actually create a woolly mammoth.
Now, this lab is trying to recreate a number of extinct species separately from this adorable mouse.
What would be the problem with bringing back a woolly mammoth?
Because it starts there, and then it ends with, oh my God, a velociraptor just ate me.
Or a saber-toothed tiger.
You want a saber-toothed tiger roaming around your backyard?
I don't want a tiger roaming around my backyard.
Who decides in what order do we take a crack at bringing them back?
And this is one issue with science, is that you get a bunch of really, really smart people in the room, and they're so excited about the ideas that they can put to work that not often do they sit and go, should we do that? Do we think that's a good idea?
What are the most notable extinct species?
The dodo bird. I say bring back the dodo. Like, no one's going to die by dodo bird.
No.
I don't think.
So why not bring back the dodo bird, the saber-toothed tiger, the woolly mammoth? We're not talking about bringing back these T-Rex.
Because these types of experiments take a lot of money, and people with a lot of money want more money.
Listen to this. You are never going to bring back a mammoth, in air quotes. A mammoth is much more than an elephant in a fur coat. Unless you decide to make every edit necessary to the genome, you are only ever going to create a crude approximation of any extinct creature based on an incomplete idea of what it should look like.
So here are some of the others. You mentioned dodo bird. The passenger pigeon, gone. Woolly mammoth, as we mentioned. Saber-toothed cats. Tasmanian tiger, gone. I mean, these are not animals that are going to eat your face off, except maybe the saber-toothed tiger. That might.
Pretty sure the Tasmanian devil wasn't very nice either.
913-586-7798. 586-7798. Here on Dana and Parks.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code SHAVE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code SHAVE. Enjoy.
Odyssey celebrates St. Patrick's Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball. Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over, and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Story here from Channel 9, our reporting partners. Quick reminder, we will be broadcasting the president's address to Congress tonight. The speech starts at 8 o'clock. I believe our coverage, correct me if I'm wrong, Newer Boss is at 7 o'clock tonight from ABC News.
What did you just call me?
Newer Boss.
Oh no, we got to come up with something better than Newer Boss. We have a Newer Boss. We have Big Boss. We have Newer Boss.
What's his name gonna be?
Oh, I'm gonna have to double check.
We
on that.
Need help on the text line.
Juvie Boss.
Whippersnapper.
No, that's boring.
You don't get a say in your work nickname.
That is correct. That is a fact. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're new to the program, Sam, whom I hired about 6-7 years ago, has now ascended the ranks, and he has surpassed Dana and me as far as seniority goes around here. And we need a new nickname for young whippersnapper Sam Stevie. Newer Boss is boring because that's already taken. Big Boss is the lady below us. What shall it be? Keep in mind, Sam is 27 years old, very, very determined. He has aspirations in this business, and I applaud that. But what should his new nickname be?
I don't like where this is going.
The text line is open at 913-586-7798. Diaper Boss?
No! Boss Baby?
From the text line, the boss.
Not accurate.
A Kansas City man's been arrested in connection with a string of business burglaries after authorities used a covert GPS tracker to link him to the crimes, according to court documents. Javon Tucker, taken into custody at 11 o'clock in the morning on March 1st. I believe that was over the weekend. He's been charged with criminal damage. He was allegedly involved in at least 5 burglaries across the Kansas City metro, during which suspects used a stolen Jeep Grand Cherokee to flee the scenes. Surveillance footage captured Tucker allegedly exiting the stolen vehicle and entering businesses where cash registers, firearms, and other valuables were stolen. Detectives discovered the Jeep had been reported stolen from Belton, Missouri. They placed a GPS tracker on it for surveillance. Authorities used the device to track the vehicle's movements in real time, linking it to multiple burglaries, including one at 4:12 in the morning on March 1st, where suspects shattered a glass door to gain entry.
I have so many questions. So first they had to realize the car was stolen, where it was stolen from, and then where do we go find that car to even get the tracker on the underside of that car? So that...
Right.
Applauding all of the detective work that it took just to do that. Am I to read this then that they followed him in real time as he was burglarizing places?
Yes, you do read that right.
So that they could make their case. And then I ask you, just because I'm curious, did he burglarize 2 places, 3 places, 4 places? Was this in the dark of night?
Well, one was at 4:12 in the morning, so that would be in the dark of night.
Did they think, like, okay, he's going in, the alarms are going off, we've got him dead to rights.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just curious how this works. And then how does the GPS tracker work? Were they able to do that because you have no expectation of privacy in a stolen car?
Well, I think that was, yes. You're in somebody else's car that you have borrowed without their permission.
Right.
Hence it's
stolen. To go criming.
Right. You have no expectation of privacy. Now, here's the thing. If it was his own car...
That's my question.
We might be talking about something else.
So can GPS track a stolen car, but not necessarily someone's personal car.
Not without a warrant.
They got a warrant in this case as well.
I bet they didn't. They wouldn't need one. Why would they even need a warrant? This is a stolen car. Our job as detectives is to find the stolen car. We found it. GPS track it. Oh, but everywhere this car goes, a crime is committed.
So odd. He's in big trouble. He was a felon.
That's correct.
So now he is a felon in possession of a firearm.
Because they found him with a Glock 23, a 40 caliber, a 9mm.
Read the last sentence. It's glorious.
And a universal key that police believe was used to unlock stolen vehicles.
Oh, we'll come back to that. Listen to the last sentence. Kansas City police confirm an arrest was made in connection to several burglaries in Brookside and Waldo.
How do you read that?
I read that he's one of the ones responsible for the ongoing dumpster fire.
Is that one tied to the Barkery in Bath? Had that news story yesterday.
Does not get into that,
okay.
But several burglaries in Brookside and Waldo. And I'm telling you what, we will keep our eye on this. do not tell me this is going to be a slap on the wrist, and he goes right back out on the street.
Well, he's now a felon in possession of a firearm. That's right.
Go away. Bye-bye.
If I'm not mistaken, that is a federal charge.
5 years.
Correct. Minimum. Really, from the text line, fresh boss, tall boss, Sammy boss.
We're not there yet.
Not hearing it yet.
We're not there yet.
Telephone number here is 913-586-7798. I applaud, by the way, the Kansas City, Missouri detectives who somehow, some way, found this stolen Jeep Cherokee, got a GPS underneath it, and now have connected him to no fewer than three, maybe four burglaries. When he was pulled over, when they caught him, he allegedly had no fewer than three firearms on him.
Does it have temp tags on it? Does it say? Because that might be the one connected to the most recent story about burglaries in Brookside, because there were a couple of suspects in those burglaries, and on the security footage, two separate times, two separate vehicles.
I also have a question about the universal key, because I'm not a crimer. Why do we have those? That seems like a bad idea.
Okay, by the way, the first time I've ever heard of a universal key for stealing cars was about 2 minutes ago when I read it.
The minute you read it, I went, well, let's go back to that.
What is that?
Well, is that where sometimes on Facebook Marketplace you see someone going, selling fobs, contact me, and there's like a bin full of 50 fobs. And I'm like, okay, that can't be legitimate. That can't be for good purposes.
Something tells me that it is just that. It is a key fob that they have somehow set up to where it matches the frequency of whatever vehicle you're trying to unlock.
And see, you guys have scared me. And so I used to leave my garage door open in the morning. I would go to the grocery store or whatever, run to the bank, come home, park the car in the garage, and leave it there with the door open.
I told you if it was the last thing I did, I was going to get you to stop doing that.
I don't ever do that anymore. I literally have my garage door closed all day, every day, unless I'm leaving or entering. Okay.
Why are we allowing universal keys? Give me one legitimate reason you would need a universal key unless you are a locksmith. And if you are a locksmith, there are other ways to get into a car.
I've lost my two key fobs. I don't know where they are.
Yeah, and I mean, especially when a dealer.
Well, I bought the car in North Carolina.
You can go to your local dealer and get, well, I guess you couldn't because you can't drive because you don't have a key. Anyway, you know what I mean.
But it's technology driven now.
You push it.
So you tow the car to the dealership.
Me. I'm going to the dealer. I lost my other fob.
I'll see you in 2 weeks.
Stop honking. Stop it.
How'd you get it in neutral?
Exactly, Sam. How did you get in if you had locked it?
We should not be allowing these to be sold.
Well, no, they don't buy them. It's just a computer nerd who figures out how to hack into the frequencies, and they set up a key fob so that it can do that to appear as a universal key. It's not like when you're at a hotel and you have one key that scans on every door.
Forgive me if I'm speaking out of turn, but I do feel like those ding-a-lings going around our town criming and busting into businesses to steal the petty cash are probably not MIT graduates.
Yeah, but they can pay somebody to give them that technology.
And by the way, you're not speaking out of turn with Chew Boss.
Chew Boss?
We're going to go ahead and nix that one right here.
Sam says, Dana, I'd like you to turn in this TPS report. I'm going to say, let me chew on that. I don't know if I can do that today.
I'm going to chew on it, and then maybe I'll do that TPS report.
Maybe I will, maybe I won't.
I don't know if we're going to have time. 913-586-7798, 586-7798 here on Dana and Parks. All right, let's grab a call or two, 913-586-7798. Hetty in Prairie Village. Hetty, good afternoon. Hello.
Good afternoon, everyone. I love your shows, as always.
It is yours, and thank you.
You're welcome. I've been in the process of contacting Facebook the last couple of days because they have been running an ad that shows this little thing that opens doors. It shows them sticking it into a door. And then it slides up, and they do all kinds of little things in the lock. And then you hear a click, and they say, no need to call a locksmith anymore. So I'm contacting Facebook to find out why they would allow something like that to be advertised, which is inviting people to break into people's houses. Well,
but Hetty, how would that be different than the old Jimmy back in the 80s and 90s? That people, the metal contraption that people would slide in between the window and the door, and you know, you kind of feel around for the lock, and then you pull up, and it unlocks the door of any car.
True, very true. But to advertise it to millions of people, I mean, that, and well, like you guys were talking about the garage door. Luckily, my door opener has a thing by a keypad by the door so that as soon as I come in and I close my door, I can lock it so good. That nobody can open it.
Hetty,
yeah.
Hetty, I'll tell you this. I thank you for reaching out and for calling and being part of the program and then trying to reach someone at Facebook. But
good luck.
I'm just going to save you the time. You are never going to reach anyone at Facebook. It's not going to happen.
Well, especially if there's a dollar to be made.
Facebook, Google, they're going to take the money and just trying to reach someone. It's not like you can call a number and someone will say, Facebook, can I help you? But you have a heart of gold. And I can see my mom, you know, spending 15 hours in frustration trying to reach someone at Google or Facebook or...
What you can do is you can report the ad over and over and over again. It's not going to stop it from showing up for other people, but it'll stop it from showing up for you.
There you go.
And if enough people do that, they will pull it down. I get some of the weirdest things on my Facebook ads, so and weird. I report them every time.
A story here from the New York Post. Men may have hardened exteriors, but surprising new research has found that they fall in love twice as fast as women.
Okay.
Academics at the Australian National University surveyed 808 young adults from 33 different countries, including the United States, to uncover the differences between the sexes when it comes to romance. The findings reveal that the average man takes a little more than blank to fall head over heels.
9 weeks.
Much less.
Really?
4 weeks.
4 weeks?
Women move much more slowly.
Huh?
Mm-hmm. Not only do men fall in love far more quickly than women, they also fall in love more frequently. Surveyed men had been in love an average of 2.6 times compared to 2.3 times for women in their lifetime. Those surveyed were all between the ages of 18 and 25.
Okay.
So that's just 2.6 times between the ages of 18 and 25.
Yeah, our ratio is off if you look at those numbers, but yeah.
Because I have fallen in love several times after the age of 25.
Yeah.
Sometimes misgiven, sometimes not.
You have?
You were just
good.
Waiting for that, weren't
nope.
you, Sam?
Nope. All good. You do you.
In fact, I think before the age of 25, I had only fallen in love once, and I married her.
It is raining outside.
It is raining.
It is raining.
Gloomy. Trying to keep us from a lawsuit there, Sam?
Gloomy.
Not done. This is not my first rodeo.
No, it was like your fourth.
Okay.
I do love all.
I walked into that one.
I do there. Love all of these studies coming out of late that are just absolutely busting the stigma that men are not emotional. There's that stigma has been around for a very
it's
long
not true.
Time.
There is nothing sexier than a man with extreme emotional intelligence.
Until the emotions
for
go
how,
too far.
For how
and
long?
Then bye.
Yeah, for how long?
Forever.
Don't women get bored with a man with emotional intelligence?
Not at all.
That's been my experience.
Good talk.
Dan, I heard that.
Man, it is raining outside. Did I already say that?
It is raining.
I feel like a broken record.
Weather. Something.
Former ESPN star and MSNBC host Keith Olbermann has had enough of Pat McAfee. Olbermann called McAfee an idiot who should be fired over his outburst when he called Canada a terrible country while color commentating for WWE's Elimination Chamber in Toronto on Saturday. McAfee chastised Canadian fans during the broadcast after very loud boos rang down during the U.S. national anthem. Quoting here from Olbermann on Twitter, a lot of us tried to warn the new ESPN management that the day would come when this idiot would draw them into a permanent political controversy and they could either be subsumed by it or fire him. That day is today. Fire him.
Right. Not going to happen.
No, God,
I was
going to
say, you want to talk about
money? He makes them way too much money.
Yeah, does he know what his show is worth? They let him say the F-bomb he makes them so much
that
money.
That is correct. And you may, parents, you may be wondering, why is he allowed to say the F-bomb on an ESPN broadcast?
Cable.
It is cable.
Yes.
You can say and broadcast pretty much almost within reason anything you want.
They do have one of the funniest disclaimers I've ever seen in my entire life.
Oh, yeah. We're adults. We talk like adults. If you don't like it, get out. We'll get the blank out.
P.S. Don't sue us.
Yeah.
I want that disclaimer.
Well, we are regulated by the FCC.
Yeah, I was going to say, these are public airways. We don't we don't get to say whatever we want.
Now, if you are anybody else on ESPN and you try to drop an F-bomb.
Good luck.
See you later.
That's right. That's exactly right. Please tell me Scott and T are still together. We are. Very happily. My comments are for others. Dan Weinbaum's got the news coming up in just a moment. By the way, the mustache looking exceptional today.
Thank you.
Lots of wax.
You got some wax on that, Dan?
Oh, definitely. A little beeswax, do a little twist. Mm. Oh, yeah.
He was inspired by Spud Dan.
Sam Stevie III, Dana Wright. My name is Scott Parks. Here on KMBZ, we will see you on the other side of the news.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.